Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Today we'll be ending the series that we did. We did one on how to come to know the Lord, how to be sure that you understand that, and then what are the signs that you really have come to know the Lord? What things should be taking place in your life? And we talked about that. And now this week we want to talk about reflecting on our purpose. And that's an important thing to consider. Why do we exist as a church? Why do we do what we do? What is our purpose? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Now what happens is, we should have a vision of what God wants us to do as a church. And we wrote one when we started the church some 35 years now. We sat down and we penned a purpose statement. Originally it said something like this: our purpose is to lead people. We actually had the word bring in there, bring people into a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ. And the mature wasn't there. We said our purpose was to bring people into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, equip and inspire them to do the same. But we realized something as we were thinking about it. We don't bring people to Christ. God, through his Holy Spirit, brings them and they repent and come to the Lord. But we lead them. We tell them about the Lord. We encourage them. And our purpose is to lead people into a loving relationship. And then we thought about not just a relationship, but a mature relationship, a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ. And then to equip them, that's what we do as a church, and that's what our goal is, and then inspire them to do the same. And so I'd like to suggest a purpose statement must come out of Scripture. That's where we got it from. We sat around a table, we thought about what would God have us do as a church. And that was about, I think we were about 20 people strong when we wrote that purpose statement, and God has been faithful. Thus, our goal in writing the purpose statement was to encourage and enable our church to stay on track with the desires of God as expressed in his word. And so I'd like to suggest that living out our purpose statement is made possible as we consider some 6 actions that we can do and actions that we encourage believers to do. And so we're going to take a look at that today. And the first one is examine our hearts. We want to constantly be examining our hearts. What is our goal? What is our passion? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So the first thing we want to do is you can't live out a purpose of serving Christ unless you know for sure that you are in Christ. And that's why we talked about in the last weeks about knowing that you really know the Lord, and the signs that you really know the Lord. Because the Lord does make demands on our life, and he wants us to live a certain way. He wants us to do things that honor him, and that is a demand. And who responds to that? Those who have come to know the Lord as Lord and Savior have bowed before him and asked forgiveness and come to know that he is the ruler, the king of our lives. And so he says, examine yourselves. Now, we're not looking for hype in our church. We're looking for holy reliance upon God. We're not trying to get people in by causing everything to be so filled with hype. Although we had a great time. Woo! No, the question is, did we have a time where we worshiped God, we live for God, we honor God? We want to have joy in serving Jesus, but we don't want to hype anything up. We want to simply preach the pure gospel so that you and I might understand what it is to commit your life to Christ. And we want to live the Christian life, and it's impossible to live the Christian life without Christ. And so essentially, first thing, that you know the Lord, and then after that you know the Lord, and you examine your heart to make sure that your will is in line with God's. Now, there are many ways of doing church, and we want to do that in a way that you grow and mature in Christ. When the gospel was going forth in the early days in the book of Acts, some people saw what God was doing, and they wanted to imitate it because they saw the crowds that were responding and what God was doing, and so they became imitators instead of possessors. And that happened once to a group of people in Acts 19:13. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus, by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." However, they didn't know the Lord, and see what happens. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, and it says the evil spirit answered them and said this, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And then it says the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Trying to share Christ and pretend that you have some power of God living in you without knowing Christ and having bowed the knee before him and submitted to him as Lord and Savior is valueless. And so what you want to do is first make sure that you examine your own heart, that you are right with God, you know God, and you can live out this purpose statement because you have set your mind and your heart on being pleasing to the Lord. Success comes not from seeking power, fame, or glory, but serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something we never ever want to hear about our church. It's found in Revelation 3:1. He says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." That would be the saddest thing to ever happen. We don't want a reputation of being alive, but not really knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord. And this is what the Lord said about this particular church. We want a reputation of knowing the Lord, serving the Lord with all of our hearts. So the first action in fulfilling our purpose is to examine our hearts. John writes this, "Abide in me," these are the words of the Lord, and I in you. "As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we realize as a church, we can only do what we can do by the Spirit of God, abiding in him and him abiding in us and us serving him, serving the Lord with all of our heart. Martin Luther said it this way, "The true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart simply cannot be idle." In other words, if Christ is really your Lord and Savior and you have embraced him and asked for forgiveness of sins, that's the starting point. Our lives then become productive for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do and think and how we live matters in terms of the gospel, and we realize that and we take it seriously. So we examine our hearts first. Then we encourage one another. This is a very broken world we live in, and it seems to be being more and more so as we live out our lives. What do we do? How do we live this Christian life? in this broken and fallen world, and how do we fulfill the purposes of God? Well, listen to what it says. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, not wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we have a hope in Christ, and we've confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, and we know he is faithful, and we're going to live for him and for his glory. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And so my job and your job for each other is to continually stir us up towards love and good works, to honor the Lord. And how do we do that? How do we figure that out? Hebrews 10:25, here's the first thing. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm all for Christian radio and Christian TV and programming. That's terrific. But it's even better when we talk to each other and when we encourage each other and we share stories of what God is doing and has done in our life and other people's lives. And so we meet together to do that. We don't neglect that, because we need to have iron sharpening iron, one sharing with another and hearing what God is doing. That's a very important thing. Now, what are we encouraging each other to do? To love one another, to serve the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want all believers to live in faithfulness and fullness. Now, we want to encourage you in doing this. And Dr. Gene Getz wrote and said a list of vital and important experiences every Christian needs to have to grow spiritually. Here they are: Bible teaching, fellowship, and outreach. So we do Bible teaching on Sunday morning, or your children right now are in Sunday school class. We do it in our small groups. We have a number of small groups. If you're not in one and you want to have this fellowship experience and be stretched in the scriptures, we have men's groups and ladies' groups. We invite you to be part of that. We do that also. And we have outreach, where we do many things to touch base with people and to be able to have a spiritual conversation with them. And so we want to do all three of those things. Fellowship allows us to draw on the strengths of each other. And we're not all the same. You might not know that. But you know, when my wife and I go out to an affair, and it's a large affair, there's people sitting around in tables, my wife says to me, she calls me Mr. Mayor, because she says, it isn't long I'm up talking to everybody. Now, she's not going to do that. You know why? She's not wired that way. I'm wired that I see somebody. I got to go say hello. I got to say hello over there. She eventually says, we're going to eat dinner. Sit down. It's just the way I'm wired. I don't expect her to do what I do. She does what she does. You may be outspoken and able to talk to people freely about the gospel, but others are not that way. But there are hundreds of different things that you can do to live out your life in the service of God, and they all work together. And it's very, very important for us to see that. We draw on each other's strengths and we draw on each other's gifts. And so don't hesitate to say, well, I'm not an evangelist. No, but you are a servant of the living God. And there is some place that you can serve that makes a difference. We have somebody in our church that writes out birthday cards to people, the members of our church. Now, how important would you think that be? I cannot tell you how many people say, hey, Pastor, thanks for the birthday card. And then I remember, oh, I didn't write that. But someone in our church did, and it touched their life. And it's important that we do things like that, and we each draw upon strengths. And fellowship is when you get together and you share ideas, you laugh together, you pray together, and you remember the things that God is doing in you and through you. So these are the principles on which we founded our church. Examine our hearts first, encourage one another, and then evangelize and educate. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. And so we want to teach and evangelize, and we do that many ways. We have this wonderful conference coming up for the ladies, and that's a wonderful thing. Nobody in our church will be teaching it. It'll be simulcast. But you will learn and you'll be encouraged in the things of Christ. And so that's part of what we do in teaching. We make opportunities available. And then you can discuss when you have your little breakfast. You can discuss the things that you're learning. You can share the excitement of the joy of the Lord. And then you go out energized in a way that encourages you to serve the Lord. And so this is what our purpose is. Our purpose is to lead people into a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ and to equip and inspire them to do the same. And that's what we want to do. We want to inspire. God has a plan for you to be used in His work for His glory. And when you are used in His work for His glory, you feel really good about life because you know that God Almighty is willing to use you. Now, in terms of touching people's lives and inviting people to the gospel, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember Fran, F-R-A-N. Whose life can I touch? Friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Do you have any friends? Do you have any relatives that need the Lord? Do you have any acquaintances or neighbors? Now, not everybody's gifted the same way. You know, when my daughter gets on a plane, she says, she makes it so the guy or gal, whoever's sitting next, I don't want to have a conversation. I just want to fly. When I get on a plane, I say, captive audience. Now, I'm wired differently. You know what I mean? Now, not everybody's geared like that, but you could do many, many things to promote the gospel. I once heard about how people wanted to promote the gospel and they're afraid to do it, and the guy gave them some good advice. He said, get a gospel tract, and when you're in a public restroom, roll it up in the toilet paper before you get out and leave it there. And when someone uses the toilet paper, it'll pop out the Word of God. Who likes to read in the bathroom? Everybody. Do what you can do to magnify the gospel. We have invitation cards. You'll find them on the table back there. You are invited to Cumberland County Community Church. It's just a place to put your name. I give them out all the time. I leave them with places. When you leave a tip, and if you leave a tip, make sure it's a good tip if you leave the card. If you're cheap, don't leave the card. Just want to make sure you know how to do that, see? So that somebody actually will pick it up and not throw it away. And so look for ways, and you'd be surprised. Just a little invite to church can change a person's life. Just a two-minute conversation can get somebody thinking about the gospel and living out the Christian life in holiness and letting people know you love God. It's amazing how you can touch lives in just little ways, and then little by little, you see people inch towards the Lord. Well, John 1:40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and notice what he did. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody that you know that's in your family that needs the Lord? Is that a thought? I am so burdened because there's people in my family that don't know the Lord. I know the Lord, and I know what's at stake here. I know it's a matter of going to heaven or perishing in hell. I know it's a matter of living a life of purpose and joy or living a life just for yourself and missing so much. You can step out of your comfort zone and bless people, even in the church. Listen, some of you are shy, but visitors come in the church. You know what is very healthy? Hi, how are you? Glad you're here. And you can tell a visitor, you look at them, you say, who are they? Now, if you're my age, you may do that a little more than you want to. But you do that where you say, I want to make sure I know this person. I want to bless this just with a hello. That's all, just a hello and a warm greeting. I was preaching at a church once. I actually wasn't preaching. I was giving a message about the Cornerstone Pregnancy Center. And I walked in the church, and nobody said hello to me. This is a fairly decent-sized church. Not a soul said hello to me. So finally, I found out a person. I said, look, I'm supposed to give this talk this morning. Where do I go? He said, go sit right over there. And so I sat down, and then they announced I was going to give the talk. I gave the talk. I sat down. After the service, not one person in the whole service said hello to me. Not one. I said to myself, self, I'm not comfortable here. Say hello, that's all. Go out of you a little bit and just say hello. How are you this morning? God bless you, glad you're here, something like that. You can be a blessing. And then you can pray that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28 tells us what happens when the Lord gives us an invitation. Listen, come to me, the Lord says, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever have somebody at work, and I've worked a number of jobs, where somebody comes, oh, my life, I'm da-da-da-da. Hey, the Lord says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And it says, my burden is light. So learn to evangelize. And you know what? One of the things I'd like to challenge you with is choose three people that you will pray for between now and Christmas that you don't know the Lord, that don't know the Lord. Just pray for them. Just make a commitment. Who do I know that doesn't know the Lord? My family, my friends, my relatives, my associates, who? And just choose three people and just in the course of the day say, Lord, I don't know if you're going to use me or someone else, but I pray that their eyes are open and they see the Lord Jesus Christ. It will give you purpose. It'll give you passion. And you know what? If they come to the Lord, it will give you joy like you wouldn't believe. And so pray for somebody. So examine our hearts, encourage one another, evangelize and educate, and then enlist everyone. You are now in the Lord's army. When you became a member of the body of Christ, you became one who God has called to participate in the things of God. Each one of us is wired differently. Each one of us does things differently, but we are to participate. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each, no exceptions, is given the manifestation of the Spirit of God for the common good. Everyone counts. You know, we had a men's breakfast yesterday, and after the breakfast, I ran home for about 30 seconds, ran back, and everything was cleaned up and put away already. That counts. That matters. And you know, VBS, I can't get over it. We had over 50 volunteers for VBS. Does that matter? Listen, one day, those volunteers are going to see some of those little kids, and they're going to see those kids living for Christ and serving God. And they're going to remember that at VBS, they had an impact in that child's life, or they touched that child's life, or they made it possible for them to come. And so anything that you do matters. And many of the things that we do to evangelize are behind the scenes. A lot of planning, a lot of praying, a lot of setting up, a lot of taking down. All those things matter. And so when someone says, we need a volunteer, and you say, well, I can't go out and talk with Jesus like everybody else. Well, no, you can volunteer, and you'd be surprised how you will touch a person's life by being involved in the ministry. I'm thankful for all that takes place. And then, after we examine our hearts, and we encourage one another, we evangelize and educate, then we enlist everyone, and then next, we enact a plan. We all need a plan. Proverbs 16:13, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, I carry those invitation cards in my wallet. I know that I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to find a place to give it. And sometimes a conversation happens, just a simple conversation. You know, somebody was checking me out once and they mentioned God. Oh, do you know God? And perfect invitation to pass out a card. And so you will find that those things happen. And again, if you pass out a card, you leave a tip, make sure it's 20% and up. I remember once I shared that with somebody, and a wife came back a week later and said, you know what you did? My husband now has to put 20% down every time he eats out. I said, well, if you can't afford to put 20% down, don't have him eat out. You know, bless people. Bless them in the name of the Lord. I love to bless people. You can bless people. Enlist everyone, enact a plan. Pray that God might encourage you to pray and ask for an open door. For three invites, just three invites between now and Christmas. Lord, will you open the door for me to just give three invites to somebody between now and Christmas? What would it take for you to do that? And you pray for them specifically. You work with people. When I was working at Wheaton's, I enacted a plan. I said, wow, I've got about 10 guys in my shop, and what am I going to do? Christmas time's coming. And I bought each person a New Testament and wrapped it with a card and a little note. and I gave it to him. Now, I know that some didn't go, but one of them is our worship leader now, one of our worship leaders. And so God will change lives if you're bold. And I didn't preach or anything. I just said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And that's all you have to do. And when you write out cards, make sure they have something about the Lord. And if somebody loses a loved one, give them a card that speaks of the joy of the gospel, that encourages them that the Lord is with you. And hand them a card like that. In other words, the plan that you're enacting is that you will do what God wants you to do, to whatever you can do to share Christ in your life. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Pray that God opens the doors. And who knows, imagine if 100 people here prayed for 3 people that somebody might accept an invitation, and only 1 out of 3 accepted. Would that be incredible? That would be absolutely incredible. What if only half of that number accepted? 50 people said, yeah, I hear you. I'll come. What if only 25 came? Would that not still be a blessing? And so you and I would be greatly encouraged in our hearts. So enact a plan. And then last, and this is important, expect results. Expect results. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I've gotten phone calls from people that I talked to from many years earlier, and a crisis hit their life, and they called. And who knew? But they did. And it says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, I know it can be discouraging. You know, sometimes you share Christ, and you feel like, wow, that didn't go over very good. And you feel like, man, I got rejected, and the feeling of rejection is difficult. But I tell you that if you are living the Christian life and you have the joy of the Lord in you, and you just take an opportunity to do some simple thing. I remember just a couple months ago, I was in a restaurant with some other people from our church, and we bowed our heads to pray. And the table next to us said, that was so wonderful to see you bow your head and pray. That's a simple thing like that. How big is that? But it touches lives. And so, listen, if you get discouraged, I want to show you how to look beyond the discouragement. It's found in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to this. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately he sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no gain. Now, let me ask you a question. How would you feel after that? Pretty low, right? You say, oh my goodness, I've done this and nothing. But Jesus didn't leave us there. Look what he says in the very next verse. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, you don't strike 100 every time. But if you are faithful and living your life in a holy manner, you're growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're praying for friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors who are lost. You care, and you share. And when you share, sometimes you reject it. But sometimes, 30, 60, 100-fold. And you will have the joy of looking back at life, knowing that you touched that person's life, and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ because you were willing to be a living witness in a dying world. God wants to use you. Believe it. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. The Holy Spirit is in you. He will lead and guide and direct and encourage. He goes on to say, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Did you know that many churches today are dying? They're dwindling. And I think one of the reasons they're dwindling is they don't have a purpose. There are many reasons churches dwindle, but one I think is they just don't know why they exist. And our purpose statement tells us why we exist as a church. John Piper is a well-known pastor who wrote this article about purpose statements. Listen to what he says. It is not enough to say the Bible is our guide. It is not enough to say our church gets its distinctive identity and direction from the Bible. The Bible is a big book. It describes hundreds of right things to believe and hundreds of good things to do. But nobody can hold them in his head all at once. Even when we narrow our attention to the central person of Jesus, he is so great and said so many great things that it's not enough to say Jesus is our distinctive. Of course we have no distinctive mission in the world if we lost the Bible or lost Jesus. But when we need what we need in order to give us a clear sense of mission is a concise statement that gathers up the whole Bible into a few sentences. We need some crisp, clear, biblical statements of why we exist as a church, what our distinctive is, and where we are going. If the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So we know why we exist as a church. I'd like to give you a challenge if you haven't already done it. Memorize our mission statement. See, I have a personal mission statement. My statement is to encourage people in the hope of Jesus Christ and to give them the tools to see that hope fulfilled. That's how I live. That's my personal mission statement. But I encourage you to adopt the church's mission statement. It's what we're doing. And if you haven't memorized it, take the next 3 weeks. It's only a sentence. It's not that hard. Memorize it. Listen to what it says. Our purpose is to lead people into a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ and to equip and inspire them to do the same. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to say it with me just so you hear it in your mind. Let's say it together. Our purpose is to lead people into a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ and to equip and inspire them to do the same. That's why we exist. That's what we are as a church. I hope you embrace that purpose statement, and your life will be radically blessed as you go about life with the purpose of doing exactly what that is. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be bold, unashamed of the gospel. It's the power of salvation to everyone who believes. We've been called to go into the world and make disciples, and we can do it many different ways. We can all team up and work together so it works out for your glory. How grateful I am for people who have understood why they exist and what they ought to do. Let it be so as our church that we live out our purpose. Our purpose is to lead people into a loving and mature relationship with Jesus Christ and to equip and inspire them to do the same. May you be glorified in that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.